So Pastor Andreas, he is the pastor at Southview Church. So this is a sister church of ours in Medicine Hat. And this sister church of ours a few years ago was not doing so well and looking at possibly shutting its doors. So he's been leading the church through a process called Dying to Restart. So what he comes in is kills the church and then takes some time to reboot it and then restarts it.
Yep.
Should I have said that nicer?
Yeah, I don't know about killing the church, but yeah, we did that. It was already kind of experiencing death, and that we were at 16 people when we started, and so it was, hopefully you don't have a funeral and you're the last one, because then you got to shut the doors on your way out, kind of a thing. Yes.
Perfect. So Eastside has been partnering with Southview, has been partnering, providing leadership and other resources to help get it going. We are a church that believes in the Big C Church, the Big K Kingdom. We look beyond our doors. We look beyond our city. And Southview is a very was a natural church because it's within our same group of churches, but we also want to see that city reached, not just our own. So we've been part of helping them with that. So today, Pastor Kevin is actually at Southview as part of our partnership. Pastor Andreas is here. It's just great for you guys to get to hear from other people than just those of us pastors in our church, even though I know you guys are always looking forward to our sermons. Anyways.
They're all quiet.
Okay, that got more awkward.
What does
he
know that we don't know?
Ooh, okay, yeah. Moving on. I'm going to pray for Pastor Andreas as he leads us this morning in the sermon and message for what we are going to be wrestling with for the rest of the week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for Andreas. Thank you for his heart. Lord, guide him and direct him this morning. Lord, and as he leaves here this morning, may he be encouraged by us. Lord, be with Pastor Kevin as he serves at Southview. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity for us to serve, for the work prepared you did in advance for us. Lord, help us to lean into that, both as churches. Lord, to remember the Big K Kingdom. Lord, your work beyond these church doors, your work beyond this city. Lord, as we look forward to partnering more in the future, guide us and direct us in that process. We thank you for Andreas this morning. Prepare our hearts for what he has to share. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So as was said, I went to Southview Community Church. At that point, it was Southview Church of God. We moved there in 2001, and the whole premise was, how do we kind of breathe life back into something that's at death's door? How do we allow for freedom of the Holy Spirit to work and move? Because we believe that there was still more that God wanted to do through that church. It's exciting where we are at now. This last Sunday, we had over 60 people at our church, and so we're seeing growth. When I first started in 2001, I actually spoke here before I actually was there on my first Sunday, and our children's ministry at that point consisted of my daughter. Then when I came back, I think a year or so later, our children's ministry had doubled because we had a son. And now we're at 8, but that's not because of my wife and I. We said, we're done growing this children's ministry. God, you got to do something else. And so we now have 8 kids who are part of our church. And the exciting thing about that is 7 of them are from our actual neighborhood. Our vision as a church is to be a church for the neighborhood, a church that is known, a church that is respected, that meets the needs of the neighborhood while helping people on their journey with Jesus. And so we're seeing these families who are coming and they're excited. We do a monthly movie night for families to come and just enjoy popcorn and get out of the house. We've seen families that started by coming to that, that then came to our monthly pancake breakfast and now is a part of our church. This last week, we had the privilege of serving pancakes to all of the kids in the community school across the street from the church. And so we were over there with a team of people from the church blessing our neighborhood with pancakes and syrup, and the teachers probably hate us. But we had the gift of being there. In fact, Spencer, the other pastor from our church, and I, we get to go to the school every week. He's there Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I'm there Wednesdays. And we get to volunteer and help kids and read with them, and kids that are struggling, just be present with them. And God has gifted us with an open door in a public school that is going, we want to make this neighborhood better. You want to make this neighborhood better. How do we do that together? And so we're seeing God work in our church. And so we are really excited about what he's doing, excited about this partnership. Our board is made up of primarily people from Eastside, and so their leadership is helping guide our team, and so we appreciate that and love the partnership that we get to have with the staff. As was said, Pastor Kevin is at Southview preaching because we're doing the same series as you guys. So what we are learning about the Holy Spirit, what you're learning here, we're doing that there as well. In fact, the prayer series that you guys did here in January, February, we also did that. Because we see that there's a beauty in partnering. There's also a beauty in sharing resources as pastors and going, here's what I'm thinking, here's some ideas, and it just strengthens what we can do. This morning as we get started, I want you just to cluster up in groups of two or three where you're at, and the question that I have for you to discuss is, what is one thing you wish you could change? Very open-ended question. One thing you wish you could change. Groups of two or three where you were at, something you would change. I'll give you 1 minute. Go. About 30 more seconds, what you would change. If you're at home watching online, encourage you, talk with your family about this as well. What would you change if you could change anything right now? All right, what are some of the things that came to mind? Just pop up a hand or shout out something. What is something you could change if you could change it? Just like the first service, you guys hate change. You're comfortable with everything the way it is. Nobody wants to change a thing about life, the world, politics. Huh?
New knees.
New knees. That's a good thing. Yeah, physically, some of us would go, I would change my health. I would change these circumstances. 100%. Other things you would change. Poverty, getting rid of poverty. That would be awesome. Yep. Well, you guys are more nervous than the other crowd was. Like they were super spiritual. They're like, you know, I would change the fact that people don't know Jesus. I would change the fact that, you know, some people don't have the Holy Spirit present in their life. You guys wouldn't change a thing. Some of my thoughts as to what you may be thinking and just didn't share is maybe politicians. Maybe there's certain politicians you wish you could change, right? And we're not going to get into a political debate, right? Maybe it's that. Maybe it has to do with your job or your pay at your job. Maybe you're in a job and you're going, this is not what I want to be doing, but right now it's what I have to be doing in order to have some sort of income. And if you could, you would change your job. For some of us, maybe it's finances. If you could change anything, you wish maybe you had more finances, right? Or maybe it's relationships that you wish you could change. For some, maybe you've been waiting for a long time to find that special someone to marry. You're going, I wish that that would change. I wish that that reality was different. For some, maybe you have kids and you wish that they would move out. And you're ready for that change. And yet, on the flip side, some of you, maybe your kids have moved out and you wish the change would be that they would come around a little bit more. That they would be more present in your life. Maybe you look at the church, and obviously you guys don't want to change anything. You could have said it with me because Pastor Kevin isn't here, so this was a safe space. But maybe you would change some things about church. You know, maybe you'd have donuts every Sunday. You know, maybe there'd be programming that would be different. You go, oh, I wish this was part of our church. Maybe you would change things about your past. Maybe you didn't take school seriously enough at the time, and now you're living out that reality, going, oh, I wish I had just paid more attention. Or maybe you took it too seriously, and you're like, I missed out on a lot of life and just getting to enjoy friendships because I was just always in the books. Or maybe in the past, you were hurt, or you made a decision. Maybe you picked up a bottle for the first time and you've struggled to put them down, and you go, if I could change anything, that would be something I wish I could change. As I thought through this question, my focus went specifically to one thing, and what I would change has to do with these two little kids. That's Lucy and that's Judah. That was 100% of our children's ministry about a year ago. Love those kids. They are a joy to me. Whenever I leave the house, Lucy comes running. She's like, Daddy, one more hug, more hugs. And she just quick hugs. And then I have to give her a slobbery kiss because that stays longer, right? And so it's like, just a slobbery kiss. And I'm like, oh, that one's going to stay for a while, right? Because that's a good slobbery one, right? And then she'll leave and I put on my shoes and just one more. You know, they went to Lethbridge this weekend and I had to hug her 2-3 times and they were like 3 blocks away. And she's like, I already missed Dad. My son, when I go to leave, he's like, yeah, peace, see ya. But there's a difference that when I come home, at the door, my son's already at the doorknob trying to open it, trying to figure it out, and I come in, he's like, Daddy, home! And he gives me this big hug, which usually is just this. He kind of leans in. He's a guy, he's figuring out how to hug. Right? And then he's got to tell me about his day. Daddy, sandbox play today, right? Oma, come over. And he's so excited. And my daughter, she's usually just watching a show around that time. And it's like, hey, Lucy. She's like, hey, right? Like, so they're different, but I love these kids. The one thing I wish I could change about them, though, is selfish, and it's sleep. It seems like one of them is always up in the middle of the night due to some reason, right? Our son likes to be held. He didn't do soothers or stuffies in the sense of like, or a blankie that he had. So his soother is his mom. He just wants to be held by her at 4 in the morning. And my daughter, she wakes up this last week coughing because she's got this nasal drip and it sits in her throat, and so she wakes up coughing, and so I get to go and lay there with her and try to convince her that 4:30 in the morning is not the time to get up because she's ready. And so I love these kids, and I realize it's something I also can't control. And someday down the road, I'll look back and go, oh, I wish I could go into their room and they'd be here and I could have that memory. Pastor Kevin shared last week a couple of questions relating to his talk with us on, do you really want a life without the Holy Spirit? And why do we need the Holy Spirit each day as part of our life? He took a look at some of the reasons why we would want the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to grow, to learn, to understand. He helps us to navigate hard times. When hardships come, His presence with us gives us peace and guidance. The Holy Spirit is there for us to experience God personally, that we can know God in our own way. Wouldn't this be great if that was the reality for all of us in the church, that we walked with the Holy Spirit daily, that every day we knew the Holy Spirit and His presence with us and what that meant? We looked at this verse a couple of weekends ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 14, and I love how the Message translates it. This is a prayer at the end of Corinthians, and it says, "May the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." This passage has all three parts of God, the Trinity, mentioned. The amazing grace of Jesus, this gift to us that we don't deserve, that may we receive and understand that gift that we are getting, that we may understand the love of the Father, of God, who loves us deeply. And may we also receive the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. When I read that became my personal prayer for this series, is to know the Holy Spirit as an intimate friend. Not just to know of Him, but to get to know Him as a friend. Not a friend like on Facebook that's just part of 400 people and occasionally maybe you see a photo and go, "Oh, he went to Costa Rica, cool. I'll like that," and that's it for the relationship. But that He is someone that every day I get to know and He knows me. And we are excited to do life together. When you think of your own life, how do you describe your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Would you define it as an intimate friendship? Would you describe your walk with Him as, "I know Him, He knows me, we do life together"? Or is it something different? I think for many of us, we would probably say, "Yeah, I know Jesus. I know that He died for me. He loves me. He's forgiven me of my sins, and that's awesome. You know, the Father, He sent His Son, and I love Him." And yet, the Holy Spirit is this entity that we just kind of go, "I don't fully understand Him, and I don't fully know what relationship with Him is all about and what it's meant to be." The reality is, I believe there's one thing that primarily holds us back from a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit, and that one word is the word control. Let's pray. Jesus, as we take a look at Your word, as we take a look at who You are in Your relationship to the Father and to Holy Spirit, we pray that, Holy Spirit, You would meet us in this space, that You would allow our eyes to see what You have for us to see, that You would allow our ears to hear what You have for us to hear, and that we would sense that desire for intimacy from You, Holy Spirit. Thank You that You are here with us. Amen. How did Jesus do the things that He did on earth? How did He perform miracles, walking on water, healing people, forgiving people of their sins, and ultimately coming back from the grave? I think our gut answer and the one that most people would say is, well, He did it because He's God. Jesus is God, and therefore he was able to love people that we struggle to love. He was able to be present. He did these miracles because He's God. And that is true. Jesus is God. And yet, what we often do in that statement is we limit God's humanity and focus on His divinity. We focus on the fact that while He's God and He's big and He's all-knowing and He's all-powerful, and yet in reality, when Jesus came down to earth, He left behind His divinity. He left His ability to know all things. He left His ability to be present everywhere, and He confined Himself in a body like you and me. Jesus needed to have his diaper changed. He needed to be fed from his mother. He needed to learn to speak and put syllables together just like you and I did. You see, Jesus' divinity did not overtake his humanity. He was subject to temptations like you and I. He struggled with pain. He would have stubbed his toe. He had to deal with relationships around him where people were fighting, and the politics and the Roman Empire and the things that they were trying to do to the Jewish people. Jesus was a human like you and I. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. In this passage, we see a prophecy about Jesus, about the coming Messiah. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of control and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Isaiah is pointing to Jesus and says, the Holy Spirit will be present on his life. His wisdom, his knowledge will be because the Holy Spirit is there. We see in Luke chapter 3, Jesus walking to the edge of a river, and he enters that river, and his cousin John the Baptist baptizes him. And we're told to be baptized as Jesus was. And when he comes up, the Holy Spirit comes down and descends on him in the form of a dove and is present on his life. Turn with me to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verse 34, we read the following, "For he is sent by God, he speaks God's word, for God's Spirit is upon him without measure or limit." John the Baptist here is talking about Jesus saying, the Spirit is upon him without limit. God's presence is there and guides him and leads him. Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in his home church and he's asked to give a sermon, and he picks up a scroll and he reads from the prophet Isaiah, and he says the following, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus starts off his ministry with this sermon saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do these things, to set people free. The brokenness that they're struggling with in life, the Spirit is helping me to be God's presence in their life." John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus is talking here, and he says, "I assure you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." So Jesus is saying, whatever God the Father's will is, whatever his hope is, that's what I do. We are one and we function the same. And that is made possible because the Holy Spirit is present with Jesus, to Jesus, guiding that connection with the Father. You see, Jesus lived a life that was fully surrendered and connected to the Holy Spirit. He didn't hold on to control. He didn't say, this is how things are going to be. He lived in obedience to the Father from what the Holy Spirit led and prompted and guided him towards. For some of us, we have this mentality that we hear in church occasionally where people say, well, why do I even need the Holy Spirit? I've got Jesus. Jesus is the one who forgives my sins, and Jesus is the one present in my life, and he is the one who died for me. Isn't that enough? In reality, it's somewhat of an arrogant statement to go, Jesus, I understand you needed the Holy Spirit, but I just need you. I just need who you are. Jesus himself lived fully surrendered and dependent on the Holy Spirit. And we need to as well. John chapter 16. Verse 12 and 13. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says the following. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting his own ideas. He will be telling you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever he receives from me. Your relationship with Jesus, your understanding of who Jesus is, your ability to read from this book and have a general clue as to what God is trying to say is because the Holy Spirit is with us. We talked a couple of weeks ago how the Holy Spirit is God's now presence. It's his presence with us in the now. And Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will introduce you to me. The primary role of the Holy Spirit is to point people to Jesus. He's not trying to get the attention. He's not trying to be the center. He is saying, here is Jesus. Here is his grace. Here is his love. Here is hope present for you. Is the Holy Spirit in control of your life? If you were to describe your relationship with the Holy Spirit, how would you describe that? Is the Holy Spirit present and working here at Eastside? Would we say, oh, the Holy Spirit is doing these things, or would we go, oh, Jesus is at work? Another way to ask this is, how is your cup? You see, for some of us, we hear about being filled with the Holy Spirit and we allow him into our life, but we only fill the cup partially. We only want some of the Holy Spirit. And one of the main reasons for this is fear. We've heard what the Holy Spirit may do. We've seen what the Holy Spirit does in some churches. And we go, I just don't understand that. And so I would just rather have a little bit of the Holy Spirit. I'll take the spiritual gifts. I'll take the fruit of the Spirit, but tongues, I don't get it. So I'd rather just not be filled fully. You see churches where the Holy Spirit shows up and people are on the floor laughing or crying, and you just go, that just seems beyond what I can understand, and so I just don't want that. Or for some, we've even maybe got a belief that we're only able to have part of the Holy Spirit now, that there's like a junior Holy Spirit for kids and youth, and when the Holy Spirit comes, he fills us with a limited amount for now, and then when we're older and we've gone to Bible school, or once we've got to college and understand more, then we get more of the Holy Spirit. which is false. There is no junior Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pours himself out on the kids as much as he does here upon us as adults. See, one of the struggles often that we have with being filled with the Holy Spirit and having him present in our life is we directly connect that to the charismatic. And we go, well, I don't want to be charismatic and like that, and therefore I will only have a little bit of the Holy Spirit in my life. I believe 100% the Holy Spirit does show up, gives the gift of tongues, gives the gifts of healing, is present in our lives in ways that are beyond us. And yet, we don't necessarily want that because of fear. For some of us, we want the Holy Spirit to fill us, and we allow the cup to be filled, but there's rocks in that cup. And those rocks are a symbol of different priorities we have. Holy Spirit, you can be present in my life, but this space, stay away. That's not for you. My finances, sure, I'll give a little bit to the church here and there, but ultimately, I'm in charge of my finances, and you don't ask me to give beyond what I choose and what I decide. Or maybe for some of us, it's relationships. We go, no, God, I get to pick these relationships, or I get to put the boundaries on your level of work in these relationships. Or maybe you've been hurt in the past, and so that rock represents a place where you go, Holy Spirit, you're just not allowed in there, because I don't want to dig up the hurts that were there. I don't want to have to process that again and go through it again. And so you can be present in my life, but stay away from that. And so we've been filled, but there are spaces in our life where we just go, there's no room for you there. That's mine. I'm in control of it. For some of us, we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, and yet the water looks stale and murky and isn't fresh. We've gotten sucked into a traditionalism of, this is how I live out my faith. This is how I do things. And week after week, we do the same thing. Year after year, we have our same rhythms. And yet, there's nothing fresh and new in our life. I'm not saying that spiritual disciplines or reading the Bible, being present at church are bad, but for some of us, we just do the same thing day after day, and we don't get a sense for the Holy Spirit or his presence in our life, and we just keep doing it because, well, that's what you're supposed to do. And in reality, our faith looks more like a religion rather than an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit and God. I ask one of the toughest questions I found that I've asked at our church is, what is the Holy Spirit, or what has God been saying or doing in your life this week? For many people, they can answer what he did at some point way back. Well, you know, God brought me my spouse and he was present and all of that. Or I had a car accident at one point and should have died and God was present. Or he healed me, I had this sickness and he showed up and he did that. And it was so awesome of him to show up 15 years ago. And now we just kind of keep living off of something so long ago, but not something present in the now, in the today. For some of us, we allow the Holy Spirit to fill our life, and the Holy Spirit fills us up, and then we go and live over here. Pride takes over, and we use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us, and we use them for him. And we do things for him. In fact, this is one of, I think, the greatest struggles I see within the North American church, that if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, it's okay because we can take care of things. That the worship team can come up and play the right chord, and this will get people to feel an emotion. This will get people to raise a hand because that's the song that everyone loves right now. I realize this as a pastor speaking at our Easter service when I was talking about what are the dark parts of your life that you are dealing with. And as I looked out at the crowd, there was a heaviness I could sense as they were going, oh, here's the darkness in my life. And I realized, and I believe it's because of Holy Spirit, that in that moment, I had a lot of ability to manipulate and take advantage of people. I could have easily forced shame or guilt or pushed people, and it would have led to a response. And I could have easily, at the end of the service, gone, wow, a move of God, wasn't this awesome? And the Holy Spirit would have sat back and gone, I wasn't part of it. And so there's times where we are functioning with the Holy Spirit within our life, and yet he's actually not present where we are. He's over there. I've taken over. I know what's best. Holy Spirit, I've got this. For some of us, the Holy Spirit we allow to fill our life, and it's a special, unique cup. Because in the past, we maybe had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Maybe we were at a camp. We were at a retreat. We were praying at home, and God's presence met us. And so now we have expectation of that's how the Holy Spirit has to function and work. This is how it has to look. And that can be for us personally, and it can be an expectation for others. Well, you need to encounter the Holy Spirit in this way. The Holy Spirit is present in my life, and he's given me these gifts, and now you have to function in this way as well, because that's so special, and this is how he fills us, and we start dictating what the Holy Spirit needs to look like within the church or within our own life. This is how you've moved in the past, and so this is how you will do things from here on out. There's a common thread that ties these different cups together, and it has to do with control. See, the more control that we have, the less the Holy Spirit is present in our life. The more I try to dictate the boundaries around what Holy Spirit can do in and through me, the more we create fences or expectations of what the Holy Spirit will do here in the church and the Big C church, the less the Holy Spirit has room to actually show up. See, we try to control him by saying, well, you only get this much room, or you can only work in these areas, or, well, the Holy Spirit filled me once, and this is just kind of how he does it, and so I'm going to keep doing the same thing over and over, failing to recognize that it's broke. And maybe we just need to change our Bible translation, or we need to take a risk and pray in a group, but we're stuck in this tradition. Or maybe we try to control the Holy Spirit by saying, well, thank you for the gifts. I have the wisdom and knowledge because I know how the Holy Spirit works. Or we've had an experience and now our expectations drive our encounters with the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself lived a life that was surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Jesus healed people. He helped forgive people of their sins. He was present in the moments he was in because the Holy Spirit was fully present with him. him and then through him. You see, walking with the Holy Spirit is not about gaining knowledge. My hope for you as a church, my hope for Southview as a church, that in this series, we don't grow in understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. There's an aspect of we need to learn and understand who he is. My ultimate hope is that you would grow in intimate friendship with him, that you'd come to know him as your friend who walks with you, who whispers, I love you, and encouragement and hope throughout your day. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. This is Jesus again. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, if you are thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow out from within. When he said living waters, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Jesus is offering us water, living water, the Holy Spirit. Who has the Holy Spirit? Anyone who believes in me, living water is available. You see, Jesus desires to fill us and to continue flowing into your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. That as the Holy Spirit's water is poured into you, you navigate your life, your day differently because God is with you today. This morning, as the worship team comes forward, you'll notice that there's some water stations across the front. There's nothing unique or special or magical about the water that is in these jugs. I didn't bring it from Medicine Hat, and so it's not like, wow, right? This is just plain water. But sometimes we need to take a step and respond and do things to signify something that God may want to do inside of us, but also something that we are desiring God to do in us. And so as the worship team leads us in a song, I want to invite you forward to come and drink some fresh water. Water that is symbolic of the Holy Spirit being poured out and available to you. Fresh, living water. For some of us, it may have been a really long time since we've tasted fresh water, the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is available to you. The Holy Spirit wants to be an intimate friend to you. So come and drink of the living water.